you gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken.
Come on, give it up. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Does he deserve all of your praise and all of the honor forever? Come on, guys. Hallelujah. The song is pretty simple. And it's just declaring that the Lord deserves every bit of our praise. So if you know it, can you sing it with me, please?
My hallelujah belongs to you. Yes.
Come on, every hand lifted.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing it out.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
You guys sound amazing.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
I think you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Hallelujah.
You deserve it. You deserve it. Yes, you do. You deserve it.
Come on, sing together. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing it out with everything that we have. Sing my hallelujah. Together, sing, you deserve it.
Yeah.
out, sing my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Yes, my hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing, you deserve it. Isn't it wonderful to praise a wonderful King? He's marvelous, he's matchless in all of his ways. And yes, he is the center of it all. Come on, everybody, sing it with me, Jesus.
Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, sing that again. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
From beginning to the end.
From beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus,
nothing.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do.
'Cause Lord, you are the center.
Jesus, you're the center. Every knee will bow.
you, Jesus. Jesus.
Sing that verse again.
Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, sing that name.
Jesus.
Come on, sing it out.
Jesus.
Because something happens when we say the name.
Jesus.
There's restoration in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on.
Jesus.
There's hope in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing nothing else.
Nothing else matters. Nothing world will do.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, you are.
Jesus, God is center.
Everything
revolves around you.
Come on, sing that again.
Jesus,
nothing
you.
Else.
To shake, the stone was rolled.
Come on, sing it now.
We sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Come on, sing it, church.
We sing hallelujah.
Sing it, sing it, sing it.
The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Jesus, you are so good to us.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lamb has overcome.
Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. God, there's nobody that brings victory to our lives but you. God, we give you honor and glory this morning. Your name, Jesus, is lifted high. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we don't need to wait some other day. This is our day to lift your name on high. Jesus, you said if you're lifted up, you will draw all men to yourself. So right now, Jesus, we declare you as Lord. We declare you as our King. We declare you as Majesty. We declare you as all that we need in heaven and on earth. You are our access. You are our all-sufficient. Jesus, today we give you honor because you are an amazing God. Thank you that you're not dead. Thank you that you're not still in the grave. Thank you that you're actually hearing us. God, that you're enjoying, Lord, the worship from our lips. Jesus, today we bring you that sacrifice of praise, not part way, but all the way, to let you know we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him you love him. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for all you've done in our lives. You are truly a good God, and we need you in our lives. And everybody in agreement shouted,
amen.
How many believe God's a good God? I don't think I heard you. Let's let hell know we believe our God is good. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks that you don't know. Remember, we're not a snobby church. So the only way for you to know is to go say hello. Go say hi to somebody. Shake their hand. Look them in the eyeball and say, my name is.
Son of man, son of
morning, his tabernacle. How are you this great morning? We want to welcome you to the 9 a.m. service. We are so excited to have you here in the house. Did anybody enjoy Easter last week? Wasn't it an amazing production that we had? We had a record this year. We had about 1,500 different people come to church between Friday night service and Sunday morning two services. And we had almost 2,500 on Saturday for the Easter egg helicopter drop. That is exciting, church. Let's get excited for new people and souls being brought into the kingdom of God. If you are a first-time guest in this house and you've never been here before, we have a gift for you. We have a little packet that we want to send you away with. So if you have not received this packet yet, could you just lift your hand up and say, I need one right over here. Tyranisha, you can put your hand down. But if you're here for the very first time, we want to bless you with a gift, because you're our guest. And house, can we just clap for our guest this morning? It's an honor to have you here. After service, we have a guest reception right over in this hallway. If you want to make your way down here, we want to meet you. We want to hear about you. We want to hear about how you heard about us. And you have an opportunity to meet the pastors. And we want to welcome right now every single person watching on live stream TV. We are so blessed to have you watching with us. We are so blessed to have you here. And we have someone that wants to talk with you during the service. So if you hear something you like, make sure you say amen. Make sure you're communicating with us, because we want to make you feel like you're part of the service too. We have next steps. We have step one and we have step two. Who's in step one right now? Who's in step two right now with no more hurt? Oh, man. Pastor, I'm sorry, you're losing out. But we have Rock Solid Faith Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and Thursday evenings, I believe, at 6 p.m. And then we have our step two class, which is No More Hurt. That's on Tuesday nights. Yes, it's growing, and it's a serious movement that we've got going. So step two, 7 p.m., right over here with Pastor Rhonda in the side classroom. Oh, I'm sorry. They took over this classroom because they're so big. That's exciting. Anybody attend Uproar Conference last year? We are so excited. This year, we are taking a leap of faith, and we are going to the first arena. It is going to be an amazing time. But we want to partner with you. We want you to come and sponsor some kids that may not be able to go. And so if you want to sponsor a child or sponsor Uproar Conference, I believe they either have a booth out back or you can go to theuproar.org and fill out some connection cards there. And then we have on May 7th, we have water baptism. I love these services. They're so exciting. God moves mightily and people's lives get changed. So if you have not been water baptized, we want to encourage you. Sign up online at histabernacle.com. We also have the senior breakfast. So these are for the wiser folk, maybe with a little bit of gray hair. If you want to participate and build some relationship with other wise people with gray hair, we want to invite you to come out to Senior Breakfast May 8th, and you can check the bulletin for more details. We've got a lot going on, guys, so hold on with me. May 27th, his Line Crossers are having a bike blessing. This is huge. If you know someone who rides a bike, or you ride a bike yourself, not a bicycle, but a motorcycle, if you want to come and participate, we do this event every year, and it is huge. And you can also see that information right in the bulletin. And then the last thing, and if I don't announce this, Pastor Rhonda will beat me up, we have the annual women's brunch. I'm looking for a date. May 13th. There are only 120 seats in every single year. It is sold out. So you need to go and you need to sign up. You need to register. All of the information is in the bulletin. And you need to do that today so that you and your family members can have a seat at this women's brunch. And we are so excited and blessed to have you guys here with us on the Sunday 9 a.m. service. And I want to invite Pastor Ron to come give the offering message.
Talking. So it has just been such a phenomenal time in the presence of God this morning, hasn't it? Nothing in this world satisfies like the power, the supernatural power. I don't know, when you've seen as much as we've seen the miracles, signs, and wonders in this house, nothing in this world satisfies like the supernatural power of our God. Today, I just want to share quickly the passage of Scripture where God says, I take pleasure in the prosperity of my people. He gets great joy in his people prospering. And we love as pastors to hear your testimonies. We get to hear financial testimonies almost every single day of how God is prospering his people. Now, in Malachi, it says, why have you robbed God with your tithes and offerings? So how is it robbery? How do we find it robbery? Are we stealing money from God? No. What it is we are taking away his pleasure in the prosperity of his people. That's what brings him joy, not taking from you, but he knows the supernatural principle of giving. Overflow, sowing, and reaping. And when we do, then we are blessed and prosperous. And God takes great joy when his people are blessed and prosperous. So today, as you stand to your feet and we make our supernatural declaration, we aren't just throwing money in a plate. We are entering into a supernatural covenant with our God, and he gets to take pleasure in the prosperity that comes from kingdom finances. So let's repeat Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can text to give or click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? This is the week after Easter. We're doing pretty good. It's amazing. The week of Easter, everybody comes out of their closet and comes out to church. Everybody comes and finds their spot. And the week after Easter, you're kind of shaken back down to normal. And we're excited, but we're believing the Lord that we're going to see more people not only come just for once a year to appease themselves, but they'll come and start growing in their relationship with Jesus. Amen. Our goal here at His Tabernacle Family Church is not building a big church. It's building the kingdom. And what I love about the kingdom is God's kingdom always grows. Amen. God loves to see growth. What is growth? Growth is health. Turn to someone and say, if it's not growing, it's unhealthy. Amen. You got a little baby. The baby never grows. Everybody says, you know, there's something wrong there. And what happens in the body of Christ, the body of Christ should be consistently growing. Why is that? Well, because there's a need for each one of us individually as well as collectively to grow into our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you like my outfit? Josiah Skinkle's been making fun of me all morning. It's not even nice. If you're a new believer this morning, you've given your heart to the Lord in the last month, we're starting something right now. Actually, let's just say all the way to the beginning of the year, if you've given your heart to Jesus for the very first time, we are starting a new class on the first service, and it's called the New Believers Class, and we would love to have you meet. Where's Mindy? Where did Mindy go? Which door, Mindy? Mindy, come here, Mindy. Mindy, where's Mindy? Mindy, let's all call for Mindy, ready? Mindy, there she is. If you have been saved, but I'm just going to say right from January, we'd love to have you meet Mindy right here at go actually either this door or the back. And make your way to the class, okay? Because we'd love to have you grow up. You know, there's something that when you have a new baby, and Mindy has a brand new baby. His name is Julian. He's my second grandchild. He's my first grandson. And that baby, when that baby's hungry, says, "I'm hungry," and that baby wants to eat. And as a new babe in Christ, oh, the Larsons are here with their new baby. Amen. We got a new baby in the house. Listen now, babies need to grow. And so what happens, many people give their heart to Jesus, and that's all they do. Listen, that's not the beginning. That's not the end. That's the beginning. It's time to grow up in Christ. Turn to someone and say, you got to grow up. Tell somebody else, you got to grow up. Now listen, if you just said that to your husband and you had a snotty attitude, you need to apologize right now. So if you're newly saved and you'd like to take the New Believers class, Mindy's going to wave. There she goes right there. And what's that? And then you can come to second service sermon right after. So if you'll please follow Mindy out. There she goes. Go. Are you leaving or are you staying? Okay, she's going now. Go ahead. Get out, Mindy. Very good. Amen. So we're just very excited. We want you to grow up in Christ. So if you're a new believer, you can head out the door, go to the left. They'll be meeting you right in there in the hallway. Today I want to start a series, a three-part series on why. Did anybody see the whys coming down the driveway? Why? There are so many people that have whys and so many people that they're questioning things that have happened in their lives that are real. And many people blame God. How many of you have ever met somebody that's blamed God for something? Oh my goodness. If you've been around anybody, the one thing you, well, I don't believe in God anymore. He didn't do this or this happened in my life. I can't believe God allowed it to. So today I want to answer a why in the Bible. And it's why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you have seen something bad happen to somebody nice? We've all seen that. And what you'll find is that many believers, and really this falls on the church, many believers, and I've gone to funerals and people will walk up and go, well, the Lord needed another angel in heaven. No, that's a lie. God didn't need another angel in heaven. God needs you right here because he's got a job for you. Amen? So people give bad answers. And they make God look really dumb. They make God look really mean. They make God look like he is truly not. So we're going to address this in the next 3 weeks. So why do bad things happen to good people? Do you realize the best one to get to answer this question is Jesus? Do you realize that he actually answers this question in the Bible? Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I just want to talk about this. Because many people believe that bad things happen to good people because God is punishing them. Or because they've done something bad. Or because they're too evil. Or they're a sinner. So therefore, that's why the bad things are happening to good people. Today we're going to address this. Because what happens when bad things happen to good people is real pain is felt. How many of you have had something bad happen and it hurt you? Maybe not physically, but emotionally. How many of you have been affected emotionally by bad things that have happened in your life? If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Now you need to get saved. Hallelujah. Because if you've been born for any period of time, you realize that bad things happen in life. And that's not exciting. We don't want bad things to happen in our lives. Amen? You know, we don't want to experience pain in our lives. So there's a need to address this. There's a need, and Jesus, I love him so much, because Jesus actually addresses this exact question in the Bible. I'm not talking like we got to find a way to get there. No, no. He literally addresses this exact question in the Bible. In Luke chapter 13, it says this. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? And this is his answer. Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent from your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people? So he didn't stop with one example. He went on to two examples to literally answer this specific question that he knew people were going to ask even 2,000 years later. So he addressed the first one. The first one was, these guys, these good Jewish people were worshiping God and they were giving sacrifices and they were doing the right thing and they were loving the Lord. And all of a sudden, Pilate came in and killed them and mingled their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. And Jesus said, do you think these guys are so bad that that's why it's happened? And he said this, not at all. Then he says, well, what about 18 people who died at the Tower of Siloam when the tower fell on them? Were they worse sinners in Jerusalem? I love his answer. Ready? No. I tell you again that unless you repent, you too will perish. You see, Jesus answered this question because many people have stopped following the Lord or will never follow God because they blame God for something he had nothing to do with. I got to say that one more time. God, I was writing a book many years ago, never finished that one either. It was called God Abuse. God Abuse. What do you mean, God Abuse? God has been blamed for so many things that he had nothing to do with. I'm talking like crazy stuff. You know, you do know that if you're following the Lord, you're going to get blamed for crazy stuff. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, we did that helicopter drop last week. I don't know how many of you were able to see all the funny things that people were saying. That's the pastor's helicopter. Listen, if that was actually my helicopter, I want you to know that I wouldn't be driving 15 minutes to church. One person said, you know, you wasted all that money to drop plastic out of the sky. And it's like, man, I just tell you, people are amazing because they want to blame somebody for what they're feeling inside. Pain causes a feeling inside that when there is pain that has been inflicted, we must try to find someone to blame. That's what people do. So Jesus started answering this question. With those 18 people that the tower fell on them in Jerusalem, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? And that's why it happened to them? And Jesus said, no. You see, Christ wants you and I to recognize that not everything that happens has been brought from it. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, everything happens for a reason? That's crap. Now, I use the word crap because That's as strong as I can get here. Honestly, that is a bunch of bunk. And so many believers, I'm talking believers, they actually believe that everything happens for a reason. Everything has come from the hand of God. And that is a lie from hell. God will bring nothing in your life. God will not pour anything into your life that is not going to be a blessing. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. Who's the Father of lights? That's our Father, Jesus. You know, that's James chapter 1. God is good. He's not bad. God wants to bless you as his child. Doesn't want to curse you. Doesn't want to bring horrible things in your life. I had somebody say to me once, God killed my baby. I looked at him and I said, God doesn't kill babies. But why do bad things happen to good people? Jesus had to deal with this. He said, listen, bad things do happen to good people. So we need to make an adjustment. The word repent there literally means to turn away from or to turn towards. It means to get a different mindset, to have a change. You see, there must come a level of repentance even within the believers when we start addressing this question. Why? Because if you actually believe that God is the one who killed the baby, that God is the one who caused the accident, that God is the one who did this, or God is the one who did that, then your perspective of God needs repentance. We must have a change of direction with our thinking. I want to talk about four adjustments to your thinking this morning. Everybody say four. The first thing I want to adjust is your adjustment dealing with theology. What? What is theology? The word theology literally means the understanding or the study of God. Many believers have been so badly taught about who God is. That's why in this church, we strive. We do rock solid faith 3 times a week. Why do we do that? Well, we could just have one class, but we do it 3 times a week because we don't believe it's bliss to be ignorant. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not intelligence. Now listen, there are 2 types of ignorance. You have willful ignorance, and there are many people in the body of Christ who are willfully ignorant. We, especially in this church, I'll just say that out loud. You know, we have this class called Rock Solid Faith that if you actually take it, you'll actually know what you believe. I'm talking you won't be ignorant anymore. But yet the classes aren't stacked. They're not stacked because people will willfully choose to be ignorant. And just fly by the seat of their britches with their intelligence. And our intelligence is minute to the intelligence of God. God's word is what we should be learning and growing in. Can I hear an amen? And then there's another type of ignorance, which means you simply have never been taught and you don't know. And you see, there are many believers who have been in churches that teach you that everything that happens is from God. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from God. If it's painful, you know, God took you and God killed this one and God did this to this one. God made this one bankrupt and God destroyed this one's family. And I want you to know, God of heaven is never that way. We cannot tolerate, we cannot sit back and allow bad theology to infect the people that are around us. We have got to have an answer to give to people when they want to know why we believe in Jesus. You see, because if they believe that their theology is that God is mean and God is vicious and that God is one who brings destruction, then why would they want to follow God? So Jesus said this. He says, I mean, do you think that all that happened because of a spiritual reaction? The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. If bad things happen in your life, it doesn't mean that God is punishing you. It doesn't mean that God is mad at you. It doesn't mean that you're a vile, worse sinner. There was a young man, this is many years ago, up in Worcester, Massachusetts. He was in a wheelchair, and he went to this church, and he was believing God for a miracle. And the pastor walked up to him and started praying for him. And then the church elders came over there laying hands on him, praying for him and commanding him to come out of the wheelchair in the name of Jesus. And the young man didn't come out of the wheelchair. So after 35 minutes of praying, this is what the pastor said. You have sin in your life, don't you? What a horrible man. He felt he had to make an excuse. Listen, things happen in people's lives. Good and or bad, you cannot blame God. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That means the stuff that hits the fan with the sinner can also hit the fan with the saint. But there is a difference, and that is that we have a covenant. Can I hear an amen? We have a God who stands back and he said, I paid the price, and the price is that your sins can be washed away. The price is that your body will be healed, and the price is you don't have to live in poverty. Can I hear an amen? We have a covenant right with our God. That is what the world doesn't have. That's why when they hit struggle, they have nobody and nothing and gotta blame God. But you and I, we will not cut our nose off, spite our face. Can I hear an amen? And that is, when bad things happen in our lives, if it's just something that hits the fan, my God can take and make all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. I know that my God is able to take something that is impossible and make it possible in the name of Jesus. I know that my God can heal the sick. I know my God can raise the dead. I know my God can forgive. I know my God can restore. I know my God can bring blessing even where there doesn't seem to be possibility. You see, that's the God that we serve. There has to be a shift and adjustment in our theology, or we'll blame God for things he has nothing to do with. The sky is blue. It's going to be, God's going to work something great today. Well, God can work if it's blue or if it's gray. We cannot blame God for foolishness. Can I hear an amen? Honestly, that's something I've seen so many times, and it distresses me. You know, I was one of these preachers that wasn't taught right. So I'm about 5 years in ministry at that point in time, pastoring our own church, and all of a sudden I started learning that it is God's will to heal. That God didn't put a cancer on you to teach you some spiritual lesson. Listen, you know that's taught right. Churches are teaching that all the time. Oh, you're sick? God's putting something on you to teach you something. Really, if you actually believe that, then you can't take medicine. Or you're trying to stop the will of God. You never thought of that, did you? Oops, dropped the microphone all over again. Well, you know, God, I've had him say, well, the Lord put this sickness on my body, and I'm learning, I'm growing in him, and it's his grace is sufficient for me. Well, you know what? When people say that to me, my blood starts to boil. Because don't you talk about my daddy that way. You see, my daddy don't put sickness on people. He delivered you from sickness. He doesn't put it on you. God will never use what he delivered you from to teach you by putting it on you. It is never God's plan that bad things happen. God doesn't want bad things to happen to his kids. But we live in a real world. You see, pain comes from four dimensions. Number one, we live in a physical world. It's natural. There are laws on this planet. Remember we showed you, this is last year. I could go back and preach last year all over again and get fed by myself. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. The year of the seed. Remember we did the seed of the law, and that was that if you're a fish and you make a decision you don't want to be a fish anymore and you jump out of the water, you're going to die. Well, why? Because you don't breathe air. You breathe water. Well, I'm a human, but I don't want to be a human anymore. I think I want to be a fish. You put two blocks on your legs, you jump into the river, and then you get mad at God. I want to breathe. Well, I'm sorry, natural laws say you just drowned. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm believing I'm just going to step. You know, I can't swim, but I'm believing that I'm going to walk on water, and I'm going to step. Listen, gravity. You can be the most spiritual individual on the planet. Listen, I love what Gunger, he gives an example one time. He said, you can be the most passionate believer in Christ. You can even have a Jesus loves you sticker on your car. You can even have that Bible bobblehead that bobbles back and forth, you know, when you're driving. And you can even have your Christian music on. But if you go into a corner that says 35 at 90, you're dead. Natural law is sometimes why people get hurt. I was riding my ATV. It was the first day of deer season, I think, 4 years ago. I just harvested an animal, put the deer on the back of the ATV, was driving out, drove over a small little 6-inch log. No big deal, little incline. I've been over that place, I can't even tell you how many times. But the tire slid with the ATV, and it hit some soft mud, and the ATV started to fall over. So I jumped off. When I jumped off, my feet went into the ground, and the ATV rolled past me. Thank God I wasn't on it. Can I hear an amen? But when I hit the ground, I kept going backwards, but my legs didn't. And I heard pop. And then I started to get up, and I realized that now everything is really soupy. Well, I still had to get the deer out. You know, it's very important. And so I had a good pair of boots on, and I didn't realize I broke my ankle. And I got on the ATV, and we rolled it back over, got on the ATV, drove it up, dropped my deer off, went and picked up Cody's deer, came back, dropped that off. And then I realized, this hurts. The devil didn't do that to me. God didn't do that to me. It was natural law. When it's too heavy and part gets planted, the rest keeps going. Pop! It's gravity. It works. It's natural law. Some people have bad experiences and bad things happen to good people simply because of natural law. Another one is simply because of free will. Some people cause their own trouble. Can I hear an amen or oh my? How many of you cause your own issues in life? How many of you did some dumb things? All right, how many of you did a dumber thing? How many did dumber two thing? You know, sometimes we just do some dumb things. We exercise our free will that's against the will of God. And guess what? It causes pain. Bad things happen when you go against the will of God. It really doesn't matter if you don't believe it. When you go against the will of God, you've now put yourself in a position where you should expect that something very negative is going to occur. And it's not God going, all right, sick 'em now. No, but what it is that when you're out from underneath the covering, we call it the umbrella, when it's raining out, you come out from underneath the umbrella, what happens to you? You get wet. When you come against the will of God, you step out from underneath the protection of God, what happens to you? You get wet. Bad things happen to good people. Another reason that bad things happen is sometimes a satanic attack will come into an individual's life. The devil does. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the great news is, if you're a believer, I've got all authority over the power of the devil, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Another one is disobedience to God's law. Moral law, physical law, biblical law. You commit adultery, you'll get hurt, your spouse will get hurt, your children will get hurt, and you can't blame God. That got quiet. The first adjustment is what? Your theology. The second adjustment is what? Your perspective. If you're always looking to the why the bad thing happened, you're going to get stuck in your past. When you always look to the past of why something has occurred, and you sit back and, why did that happen? Why did that bad thing happen to me? I don't understand why that happened to me. Guess what's going to happen to your life? You're going to start getting bitter. Because there's some things you'll never figure out. There's some things you'll never figure out. There's some things there is no why to ever come to a conclusion to. Bad things happen to good people. But if you sit there and you're staring at what happened and you keep asking yourself why did this happen to me? I don't understand. Why did my kids do this to me? Why did I lose my job? Why did I get a divorce? Why did this? Why did that? We sit back and we live in our why. You're going to get so stuck in your past and your past will destroy your future. It's time to recognize we must have an adjustment in where we're going. And that is our perspective. The perspective is, yes, this happened to me. Yes, it was bad. But I want you to know what I'm going to do. I'm moving forward, and I'm not going to allow the past to destroy where I'm going. But this is why so many people are bitter in the body of Christ. So many people are bitter in the body of Christ because they cannot figure out their why of the past, but they never leave there. And now you get overwhelmed by your past while your future is rushing past, literally. We must make a decision that, listen, I can't go backwards. I can't change what occurred. This bad thing happened in my life. I'm a good person. I love God. This bad thing happened in my life. I can't change the bad thing. I can't fix what I already broke. But this one thing is for sure. I don't need to stay in a broken mess. I can go forward to where God can bring restoration. God can bring healing. God can bring health to me. And God can bring the vision that he foreordained to fruition in my life. There is a decision, a perspective decision, that must be adjusted in our lives. You know, there are some people that are still living in 1972 in the flood of Elmira. Dear Lord, what's your problem? 1972. Somebody do some good math for me. Over a generation, 45 years ago, Elmira was flooded. The year my wife was born. A horrible situation. But you know something? I'm not from here. I'm from Boston. And guess what? I still hear about the 1972 flood. We have got to adjust ourselves. Get out of your past and start moving towards your future. Get out of your past and start moving towards your future. The tower fell on those 18 people. Were they the worst sinners? Did God do that? Did the devil do that? Jesus said, no. Something bad happened. But unless you repent, what do you mean repent? Unless you repent, unless you have a change of thinking, unless you have an adjustment in your life, unless you get the sin out of your life, you're going to perish too. And there are people that have started off right in the kingdom that no longer follow Jesus because something bad happened in their life. They blame God, walked away from God, want nothing to do with God. I know folks that have actually turned, they can't be, but turned atheist. Because a bad thing happened, they blamed him, and instead of moving forward, they remain in their old perspective. You've got to make this adjustment. Number one, what is it? Number one, you've got to adjust your what? Your theology. Number two, your perspective. Number three, you've got to change your expectation. Do you know there are actually people out there who believe that God is mean? Oh, absolutely. That God is vicious and God is mean and God is unkind and God doesn't care. There are a lot of people who believe that. There are actually religions who have their God as the one who doesn't even want a personal relationship with them. There are many believers who go to church, mainline churches usually, and old-style churches, where God is not a good God. He's actually a mean God. Well, you know, you got to have the fear of the Lord, Pastor. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the word fear there does not mean, ah! The word fear there means I respect him, I honor him, I hold him in his esteem. I respect God because he's a good God, because he's there for me. You see, that's the difference. Yes, we've got to fear the Lord. We've got to honor him and respect him. But God has never called us to be afraid of him, or Jesus wouldn't have said, fear not. But if you believe that God is this mean, nasty ogre waiting to smash your brains in. Listen, I know religions out there who actually teach that God is just waiting for you to screw up. Bam! I got you. And then there are Christian churches that are out there that actually teach the same thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because you did something so evil, because you did something so secretively sinful that God got you. That's their mindset. Listen, I'm not saying the wages of sin isn't death. I'm not saying whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. But I'm saying that God is not some ogre sitting up in heaven waiting to destroy you, waiting for you to mess up so he can throw you into the lake of fire. Ha 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 ha, we got another one out. No, he loves you with an everlasting love. He is so compassionate towards you. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us when we were a bag of a mess. Can I hear an amen? How many of you were a mess before you got a hold of Jesus? Oh, no, Pastor, I had my whole life in order. Yeah, you were a bigger mess than I was. Because you actually believe that. You see, when we don't change our expectation, we don't adjust our expectation, then you always expect that bad things happen to good people because God's mean. The last one is this. We've got to adjust our hearts. This is the most critical. Why is it? We've got to adjust our theology. We've got to adjust our perspective. We've got to adjust our expectation. And we have to adjust our heart. Human nature says we've got to blame somebody. It's called villainization. We see it all the time in the church. It's so funny. You can be the nicest pastor in the world. I'm talking about my wife. You can be the nicest pastor in the world. There are people that used to come to this church that we literally save them from losing their house, save their marriage. We literally put food in their cupboards, let them use our vehicles, put fuel in their tanks so that they could heat their house. We literally have taken their children, treated them like precious gold, yet we turned out to be the most vicious, vile, horrible people on the planet. Why is that? Well, because they wanted to leave. So they had to make somebody mean. They had to make somebody bad. Here it is, folks. Villainization is not the plan of God for our lives. Sometimes bad things happen to good people simply because of what? Nature. Sometimes it's a demonic attack. Sometimes we did it ourselves with our free will. And sometimes, just simply, bad things happen. We live in a deteriorating world. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We live in a fallen planet. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Where bad things happen to good people. But it does not mean that you and I should blame God. I know so many people who are angry at him. I'm mad at God. I'm not going to church. I'm mad at God. I personally can't understand that. Because when you know him, you know that that's not him. So when you blame God and are angry at God, you're ultimately saying, I really don't know him. I just have a conception of him that has been created by the religious world or my own conceptual mindset where I feel that I have to villainize somebody who's bigger than I so that I am not involved. That was really real now. You know that, right? We got beautiful sound up here in the monitors if we could grab that a hold. We've got to know that God's passion and God's plan is that you and I keep our hearts good. Do not allow the pain of a bad thing to separate you from God. Ricker, make sure we edit that all out, please, for TV. You laugh, but I get myself in a lot of trouble. I get nasty grams. Yeah, my favorite one just recently was I wore a black suit, black shirt, and I had my goatee a little bit longer. That seems to be white. And someone sent me a note saying it was unsigned, of course. Pastor, don't ever wear that outfit again. You look just like Lucifer. That was one of the nice ones. Let's get back to where we are, all right? I'm almost done. Stop distracting me. See, you got to villainize somebody. I always blame my wife. Or Pastor Dan. Don't allow the pain of a bad thing to turn you away from God. The pain can actually be a perpetuator to a closer relationship with Jesus. It does not need to be a distraction. It does not need to be one that destroys you. When that kind of pain comes in your life, go to the one who can fix your pain. Don't blame the one who can fix your pain. It's like you got a parent, right, who can take good care of you, wants to take good care of you, has always taken good care of you, but something bad happens in your life, and you get mad at your mother or father who can bail you out. That's just not intelligent. That's just not intelligent. So we must adjust our hearts. Because something bad happens, we cannot turn away from God. Let it thrust us towards Him. Let it push us to a greater relationship with Him. Because God can take the pain out of your life. But if you're blaming Him for the pain and He's not the creator of the pain, then guess what? You've just stopped the one who can actually help you, and now you're blaming Him, which makes no sense at all. Amen or oh my. If God could speak to you specifically right now, so if God was standing here right now, I'm not Him. No, I'm really sure. I'm smarter than that. I read the book of Acts. If God could speak to you right now, this is what He'd say to you. Why are you angry with me? What have I ever done to create this response from your life? When we blame Him, our hearts start getting angry with Him, and we start turning away from Him. Bad things happen to good people. But God can take the mess. I always say it this way. Has anybody ever broken an egg before? I mean, your plans were to make two eggs over easy. Glory to God. But you know, when you buy the eggs from the supermarket, they're old. I can only say that because I have chickens now. I love my chickens. And my chickens, they deposit some really good eggs. How do I know that? Because when you go to crack it, you can't just crack it. You got to crack it. You crack that egg and you put it out in the pan and all of a sudden that yolk just seems to break. Why did that break? And you sit back and you go, but I don't want that. I hate you, egg. You're an evil egg. Don't blame the egg. Don't blame the chicken. But you see, what I love about God is God makes phenomenal omelets. No, really. An omelet is created out of a broken egg. It's really cool. My wife, she just made some omelets like last week. And I had a steak, mushroom, and what kind of cheese was that? Cheese. And man, Munster. It was so stinking good. But guess what that means? The egg got broken. Some of you are not allowing the one who can make an amazing omelet out of your broken egg in your life because you're angry with him. He makes amazing omelets. He can take our mess and make us beautiful again. In fact, he is omniscient, which means he knows all things, which means he already has your fix-it plan together. He already knows what kind of omelet you want to eat. He's good at this. He loves taking our mess and saying, everything is beautiful. God is so good. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because they do. Sometimes you cause it yourself. Sometimes it just is natural law. Sometimes it is satanic. And baby, you can take a strong, aggressive, supernatural attack and kick it behind you. Can I hear an amen? But sometimes it's just life. I say this all the time. Your problem is not your problem. It's what you do with your problem. And you've got to make a decision. God, I'm happy. I'm very unhappy with what just happened. But I know by nature, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ came that I might have life and life more abundant. I see that there's a mess. So I know it's not my God. So I'm not going to blame God. But I'm going to run to God and say, God, what do you want to do with this mess? God, how do you want to make an omelet in my life? Lord, how do you want to fix this thing? I don't know what I got to do. But whatever you tell me to, I'll obey you. Because in a life of obedience, there's always blessing and prosperity. God will be there. And when that problem comes, don't get mad at him. Run to him. Run so fast that he's got to catch you, or you might go by him. Man, when you get there, give him a hug, because he loves you and he will always be there. He is a faithful God, a faithful, faithful, faithful God who can fix any problem that's in your life. Do not allow the pain of your past to destroy your future. So why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. Sometimes they just happen. But I know this, that if you allow it to destroy you, if you blame God, man, he's the only one who can fix it. Listen, if you could have fixed it, you wouldn't have allowed it to happen in the first place. But you couldn't. So run to him. Now, for those who aren't believers in the room, you're doomed. You got no one to help you. You've got no one there. You got no one bigger than you. You're all by yourself. Well, that's just mean. No, that's true. Next week, I'm going to preach on, are you ready? Why God doesn't answer my prayers. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can blame God all you want, but you're not even his kid. Well, this is an inclusive religion. Nope, sorry. This is exclusive club. Well, I thought that this was all about inclusiveness. No. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. If you don't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you cannot be saved. Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Well, I thought this was inclusive. Nope. This means when you're part of the family, you get the family benefits. And with God on your side, baby, you can't lose. When bad things come down the pike, I run to my daddy's lap and say, I know you got a fix, because I can't. And he's always there. He's a good God, and he loves you. Bow your head with me this morning. Today, I just want to invite you, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. You see, that is the reality. Why do bad things happen to good people? They happen to good and bad people. We all know individuals that drive Lamborghinis and live in multi-million dollar houses, and they're successful in the world's view. And you see, if it was a spiritual thing, then they would be damned and you'd be okay. But this has nothing to do with spiritual. This has to do with the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. They're in trouble. You got a way out. If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, get a shovel, because you're going to need it. Usually when you start digging yourself out with your own understanding, then what happens is this. Our understanding, we don't know what's going to happen in an hour. How dare we rely on our own decisions? That's craziness. Today, if you're in this room and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you've not accepted him in your life. Maybe you're one that was angry with God and you blame God, but now you understand this is God's not the bad guy. And you want to make your life right with him. Today is your day. Today, your faithful Father waits with open arms and says, come to me just as you are. You don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to become pretty. I can make you that way. I just want you to come to me because I love you. And I have great answers for your life. Today, if you do not know him as your Savior, or you're in a backslidden condition, angry with God, you've turned away from God, and you want to be restored to him in relationship, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. If that's you, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. Oh, very good. Thank you. Thank you, baby. Anybody else? Oh, usually one starts the domino. That's all right. Somebody already did it. You can get your hand up too. 5, 4. Come on. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm very proud of you, hon. Very proud of you. Listen. We all believe and we're all expecting our week to be amazing. Amen. But if it hits the fan this week, run to him. Run to him, not away from him. Don't blame him. He's got your answer. Bad things do happen to good people, but God will make a great omelet. Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that in this room, we are your kids. And that, God, you have goodness for us, not death for us, not destruction for us. Lord, I thank you that you're going to adjust our theology. You're going to adjust our perspective. Lord, you're going to adjust all these areas of our lives, that God, we will run to you, and that God, we will trust you, and that Jesus, you'll make all things work together for good. We love you, Jesus, and thank you that you're so faithful to us. We need you. Lord, I pray that next week, we will not come alone, but we'll bring somebody who's, we know that they've asked us that. Why isn't God answering our prayer? Lord, put that person on our heart. Lord, move it so strongly in our lives that we have to ask them. Go pick them up, that they can come here and get relief, that they'll know that God is for them and not against them. Jesus, we thank you that you love us even in our mess. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. We love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.